standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Well, Happy New Year, neighbors. Our first show for 2011. The co-host is Chris O'Brien to bring things together for me. And a little bit later on, we'll be introducing our special guest, who is, believe it or not, a real scientist, a plasma physicist. Wow. You know, this is not one of these woulda, coulda, shoulda been a scientist. This guy is a real thing. We'll get into that a little bit later. What's interesting to me is that looking over the UFO and paranormal fields for 2010, and Chris, feel free to correct me if you think I'm wrong, I don't see all that much progress. I mean, the book from Leslie Kane on UFOs, for a while, you know, it made it as a New York Times bestseller, displaced some of those conservative political books, and got in there. And she even got on Fox News, you know, the bastion of conservative talk. And the book did well, got very positive reaction, but it doesn't seem to have made a long-range impact. Am I wrong?
I think you're right. I think it did break through that ceiling in terms of mainstream media, but in terms of mainstream ufology, there was very little new information in there. She basically laid out some pretty well-known cases, but did a very good job of putting them together all in one place. And I think that it's important that a book like that, first of all, came out in hardcover, and second of all, was at least did get some notice by the mainstream media. Of course, you know, with everything in this field, it's three steps forward, two steps back. I think we're making progress with books like Leslie's, but again, it's, you know, it's like salmon struggling up river to spawn. We're still struggling to get the word out, to turn people's heads around out in the mainstream, and to get people really mobilized to create a groundswell of interest in the scientific community and among the mainstream.
That's always been the problem. That's what Major Donald Kehoe in the 1950s was trying to do the very same thing. And it was in fits and starts. Maybe I think he made progress. There was a lot of attention about UFOs. But then, of course, it reached a fever pitch in the 60s. They had the Condon Report. It died. In the 70s, it came back again. You had the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind and E.T., and then it kind of disappeared again. And it always comes in cycles, and you wonder if you're ever going to get to the top of the mountain.
Yeah, well, like I said, three steps forward, two steps back. I think tonight's guest, Dr. Brandenburg, is a good example of an open-minded scientist who's willing to look at things with more of an open mind, is not as in a place of fear about addressing certain subjects. And I think we're going to have a really very enlightening and engaging conversation with a true space scientist. This is going to be fun.
Well, and this is interesting. The book's title is Life and Death on Mars, The New Mars Synthesis. And what's interesting to me is how Mars has played such a role in the UFO field. I mean, if you go back to the 50s and Major Kehoe, he was speculating in his books that maybe UFOs came from Mars. This was at a time that we thought maybe it could be inhabited by intelligent beings. We're not talking about microbes. We're not talking about arsenic-based microbes. Talking about intelligent beings, you were thinking of Edgar Rice Burroughs and Barsoom and John Carter of Mars. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, there is a movie they're making of John Carter of Mars. It's going to be out, this year, the next year, or something like that. So it kind of brings it all home. But what is interesting to me for having a scientist like Dr. Brandenburg on the show is to also not just explore his theories about the history of Mars and what might have happened, but also ask him about some of those Mars legends that we talk about from time to time.
Well, yeah, the whole Cydonia controversy that erupted back in 76, and continued through the last 20 years. We've 25 years. We've seen quite a bit of people addressing the whole plains of Cydonia. Richard Hoagland, Mac Tonnes, and others. I think this is going to be a really good opportunity for the Paracast audience out there to bounce some of these scenarios and questions off somebody who really does know what they're talking about. He's a plasma physicist. He's been in the aerospace industry for decades. And he's just a perfect guest for us to ask these Martian-based questions of.
And because he's a real scientist and not just a speculator or a would-be or a wannabe, you know, don't expect his answers are going to be what you want to hear.
Oh.
You know, it might happen. I don't know.
One can only hope.
You know, I don't know what he's going to say. He may think that, you know, we're just a couple of laymen who don't know anything about anything, and he's going to correct us real fast.
Well, I don't mind that. I'm the last person to think that I know everything. I'm always open for expertise to, you know, help form my thinking and help correct my thinking. So I'm looking forward to asking some probing questions and getting some real, you know, up-to-speed answers.
Reminds me of back in Brooklyn, New York, back in the 50s and 60s. The mailman was the kind of guy that you don't have anymore. He would know all the neighbors. He'd know all the people who lived in an apartment. And he'd look at me and says, "You're going to be a professor." And I said, "No, I'm not. You know, I wanted to be a radio broadcaster. From the time I was a teenager, I wanted to be a radio broadcaster. Not that I didn't want to be
But educated. I get to call you professor now, huh? Professor.
Well, no, you call me a professor of ignorance. That's the best I can do, folks. Sorry.
I don't know anything. I profess ignorance.
That's right. The problem is here in the UFO field, we have people who sometimes think they're being profound, think that they have the answers, and they don't know that they're professing ignorance. At least I know. I admit it up front.
Yeah.
I say, "Hey, folks, I don't know all the answers. We here at the PowerCast are not preaching to you, okay? We may have guests who do that, but I'm not preaching. I know Chris isn't preaching, Nick Redfern, not Greg Bishop. You know, the predecessors who came here on the PowerCast, and remember, in February, it'll be 5 years since this show began. And none of us, thank you, sir. None of us have ever said we know the answers.
Yeah, that's true. And if we ever do say that, turn the radio off.
Yeah, if we say, "Hey, we got the clue, man. We know what's going on. We know what it's all about. We know it's a time for us to get off the stage because we've jumped the shark."
Yeah, or if we start prophesizing.
Well, I'll prophesize about Apple Computer, you know? Apple Incorporated, I'll suggest, "Hey, folks, I think I know what Apple is up to. I think I know what kind of products they're going to have." And I'll speculate about that. You know, I'll do that. But it's going to be kind of educated speculation because I've been writing about the subject for over 20 years. So maybe I know a little bit. You know, a modicum. Not enough to run a multinational corporation that makes, what, $60 or $70 billion a year, has a stock price of $325 a share. I don't claim to do that. You know, let Steve Jobs do that. But what's nice about being a commentator is I could say something and I don't have to be accountable. Hey, it's just an opinion.
It's an informed opinion, though, as you're pointing out.
As I said, I am a professor of ignorance.
I got to remember that one.
You like that, huh?
I do. That's clever. Very clever, Gene.
Actually, I stole that from Long John Ebel.
Okay.
Long John Ebel was
honest.
The original. No, I don't pretend to be original. You know, I think that's one of the things that people like to think. You know, "Hey, this guy is pretending to be original and he has all the answers." No, you know, I mean, we all are influenced by people over the years. I've listened to talk show hosts. I don't listen today to paranormal radio shows, not because I don't appreciate what these people are doing. I think some are really dedicated and some are really nice people. It's because I don't want what I do on the air to be tampered with, influenced, altered, whatever, that kind of thing.
I don't listen to talk radio, especially in the realm of the paranormal, very rarely, because I break out in this weird rash, and I don't have the right calamine lotion or something to eradicate it.
They've got this one which is colorless. It doesn't put out that pink tinge on your skin. We'll talk about that. Dr. John Brandenburg joining us next on the PowerCast. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien, and you are definitely in
the PowerCast.
All Are you ready to order the official PowerCast t-shirt? You asked, we answered. We're now taking orders for the official PowerCast t-shirt. It comes in white, 100% cotton. The front of it features the same logo that we have on our community forums. On the back it says, Separating Signal from Noise. To order the official PowerCast t-shirt, here's all you have to do. Visit our new online store at store.theparacast.com. One more time, that's store.theparacast.com. You can use a major credit card to place your order for the official PowerCast t-shirt. Hey neighbors, we have one more thing to talk about, and that's more merchandise at the official PowerCast store. We have hats, we have jackets, we even have a flip video camcorder customized with the PowerCast logo at the official PowerCast store. It's all now available at the official PowerCast store, store.thepowercast.com.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
Becoming a modern smoker is now easier and more cost-effective, thanks to LeSig. Traditional smokers the world over love LeSig. E-cigarettes with a look, feel, and taste of real cigarettes, but without the nasty smoke, ashes, or stains. LeSig is powered by revolutionary microelectronic technology. A small, rechargeable battery and unique replaceable cartridge provide all the satisfaction and benefits of smoking without the smoke and all the hazards. See the large variety of LeSig e-cigarette supplies and accessories at LeSig.com. That's LeSig.com. LeSig is competitively priced, comes with the best customer service, a 30-day warranty, and satisfaction guaranteed. What a great gift idea. For a 10% discount, mention GCN when you call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Ask for fast, free, same-day shipping. Order online at LeSig.com and use promo code GCN at checkout. That's LeSig.com. LeSig, for today's modern smoker.
Question. What would you rather drink? Acidic water, which burns holes in your body and causes loss of bone mass? Or alkaline water, which promotes high energy and vibrant health? The answer is clear. And if you're drinking acidic water, you're helping cancer cells and bacteria to grow out of control. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using Plasma pH Drops is the best way to alkalize your water and help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, or cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. Again, 269-409-1776.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com. Get in on all the action at forum.theparacast.com.
On the PowerCast, the first episode for 2011, ahead of 2012, where I don't think anything strange will happen, but that's another subject and another topic and another show. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in the PowerCast, and that pleasant laughter is from Dr. John Brandenburg. He says we can call him John.
Yes.
He's a very friendly guy, and he's a real scientist. I mean, he's a plasma physicist, okay?
That's right.
And before we ask about anything else, and we hear about all these kinds of physicists out there, what, pray tell, is a plasma physicist? What does that mean?
Well, plasma is the fourth state of matter. It's the aurora, the lightning bolt, the sun. All the stars are made of plasma. It's a gas that is so hot that the electrons come off the atoms and they form a... It's a gas of plus and minus charges, so it conducts electricity, it glows, and it's 99% of the matter in the universe. So I guess by being a plasma physicist, I take that as a license to study the entire universe.
Oh, wow, yeah. How did you get involved in that? Did you grow up and say, I want to be a scientist, I want to be a physicist? Did you get kind of dragged into it or what?
Yeah, I did. I was fascinated with electricity and magnetism when I was a child, and anything electrical, I would try and take it apart from 2 years old. It was my uncle was a nuclear physicist who worked on the Manhattan Project, so he was my inspiration. And he was just a wonderful human being and very much encouraged me. But I went into plasma physics because I wanted to solve the energy crisis back in the 70s. So we were working on controlled nuclear fusion, trying to create the center of a star on Earth using a woven magnetic bottle to hold the plasma, like a tokamak. You've heard of those as big donut-shaped machines. I worked on things like that.
Whatever happened to nuclear power, it kind of died. Anyway, with these nuclear accidents, did that kill the industry? You said it's poised for a comeback. Is that going to really happen?
I believe so, because I do believe that pumping all the carbon dioxide into the atmosphere is not good for the planet. I think we're throwing the planet out of balance. And that means that we have to find a power source that doesn't produce carbon dioxide. And nuclear power is an obvious one. It works. It's been around for a long time. And countries like France and Japan get 80% of their power now from nuclear power. You don't hear any accidents over there. They run their systems much better than like Three Mile Island was run, was by a private company that was rushing its plant online for tax purposes. And even Ralph Nader had warned them that this particular plant was very problem prone. And in the end, they did almost everything possible to destroy the plant, and it still didn't succeed. I mean, the core melted, but there was no breach of containment.
We didn't have loads of people running around at night glowing in the dark.
Well, you know, you have your choice of disasters. If global warming becomes a reality, obviously this winter it doesn't look like a great danger, but if we start getting very bad hurricane seasons and droughts and everything like that, then people will wonder, why didn't we do something earlier? Unfortunately, if we wait till we start seeing signs of global warming, then it'd probably be too late.
Also, with nuclear plants, it's not something you can just build in a year or two. It takes a number of years to really assemble those things, right?
Yes, but they've been doing it a long time. And like I said, you know, the French and the Japanese seem to have no trouble at all running 80% of their power grid off of nuclear power plants. I mean, it can't be that hard if the French and the Japanese are doing it.
Well, that's true, depending on what your viewpoint about the French and Japanese is, of course.
Of course, the way France and Japan are run, if they had a problem, you probably wouldn't hear about it in the newspaper.
There is
the way those countries are run.
No.
But you haven't had any Chernobyls or Three Mile Island.
Well, right, at least they have proper containment buildings, not like Chernobyl, which was just an absolute accident.
Chernobyl was just an airplane hangar with a...
Yeah.
Nuclear reactor inside it, a very badly designed nuclear reactor. It was basically designed to produce plutonium as well as power, and so it's a However, we're going to have a new form of nuclear power coming online in the next couple of years. It's called hybrid fission fusion.
Really?
And we're going to start using fusion reactors as cores for it'll be basically a small tokamak that produces a lot of neutrons, and that will be used to irradiate a thorium or uranium shell to produce power. And it'll be much cleaner, much safer than to run. And
so it's like a hybrid.
I'll be talking hybrid about system. That. It's called hybrid nuclear power. It's fusion-fission hybrid, and it's the idea's been around for a long time. Now that we've got fusion reactions running pretty well, we can actually build. It's very easy to build a hybrid now. We have all the technology we need.
Let's segue from nuclear power plants to Mars.
Yes.
Now, to Mars and beyond. Now, as you say, because you cover 99% of the universe, you're allowed to cover Mars. So,
yes, I am. Mars is too important to be left to Mars scientists, as it turns out.
Good answer.
The Mars science community is extremely conservative, and it's also apparently kind of tightly controlled because it's all funded by the government. And the government doesn't want certain lines of inquiry to be pursued. They just aren't pursued. So the place is ripe for a revolution. I was the first person to actually propose a ocean on Mars at a scientific conference, and it was well received. And the reason I could do that is because I wasn't a member of the Mars community, and so they couldn't intimidate me. They couldn't deny me grants. They couldn't take, you know, or deny me tenure at the university. So I just got up in front of this big audience and showed a big map with a big Mars ocean on it. And everyone went oohed and awed. And they asked me some friendly questions. And then after that, it was okay to talk about a Mars ocean.
I'll tell you what, we'll get into more on Mars oceans and a lot of other things, including maybe the history of Mars, what might have happened there long,
right,
long ago in a galaxy not so far away. We have Dr. John Brandenburg. Our co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space, and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack, attack of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockoids. A novel in the grand science fiction tradition."
Pure water. What could be better than the gift of health for your loved ones? And who better to help you give the gift this holiday season than BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com? If those on your gift list are drinking or bathing in unfiltered city or well water, chances are that water is contaminated with rust, bacteria, chlorine, and fluoride. For just pennies a day, Berkey Water Filters remove dangerous contaminants from both well and city water, is powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, and is great for camping and emergencies. Right now, GCN listeners get 5%
10% off all ceramic filter systems and free shipping on orders over $50. Purchase any filter system from BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com to get your choice of Berkey Sport bottles, a KDF shower filter, a set of fluoride filters, or the new Sight Class spigot absolutely free. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Give the gift of health at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com today.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, CrossbreedHolsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Forget everything you've been told about long-term food storage. When all hell breaks loose, you'll need the single most effective way to get high-powered Delta Force nutrients to your family fast. Like any Special Forces commando, you need a plan. You need a Black Hawk Down food plan. Introducing the Survival Sprout Bank from Solutions from Science. It's your countertop survival garden. Yes, grow fresh greens right on your countertop in just a few short days. Sprouts are the green shoots that emerge from newly germinated seeds, and they are powerhouses of living, easily absorbed nutrients. The Survival Sprout Bank is a complete kit with nothing else to buy. And with sprouts so easy to grow, even children can grow emergency food. Call 877-327-0365 or go to SurvivalSproutBank.com. That's 877-327-0365 or order online at SurvivalSproutBank.com. Survival Sprout Bank, your Black Hawk Down emergency food plan.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
Progressively, every week, Chris O'Brien's voice gets deeper and deeper. Is it all those cigarettes, Chris?
Oh, I cut way down on those, Gene.
Oh, that's good. You and President Obama.
I got an e-cigarette now. I charge it up with I charge it up with a USB connector that I plug into my computer.
Oh, I can't handle this. We're talking to Dr. John Brandenburg, and he has a new book coming out in February, which is called The New Mars Synthesis, and we're talking about how he got his interest in Mars. As you say, being a plasma physicist, you can write about or study 99% of the universe. Because you're not strictly an astronomer, you can get away with things that maybe other people can't. So let's talk about the ocean on Mars. What are we talking about? Maybe transplanting the Atlantic Ocean there, or what?
It was, it covered about a quarter of the planet. And it's on, if you look at maps of Mars, you'll notice there's a big, smooth area with very little craters on it, wrapped around the northern quarter of the planet. And apparently that's where the ocean was. It's the deepest part of Mars, you know, it's the lowest elevation. And the turns out the landscape changes dramatically all the way around the planet at a common elevation line. Which just happens to be what's called the zero-kilometer line on Mars. They set that arbitrarily because the atmospheric pressure reached a certain point. And so they just called it the zero-kilometer line, and it turns out it's where it also coincides with a place where the landscape changed dramatically from being rugged with a lot of craters to suddenly smooth. With no craters, as if an ocean had been sitting there and erased all the craters, turned everything to mud.
Sounds like a shoreline.
It is shoreline. It's it's easy to see. I mean, it was sort of like walking up to a blackboard where there's an equation written that says 2 plus 2 equals, and you just wrote in 4, and everyone was shocked. Because there's this, because if you, people are very sensitive about Mars having biology on it. So if you put an ocean on Mars, that automatically means biology. When you have liquid water, especially a large body of liquid water on a planet, that means the atmospheric and temperature conditions have to be very similar to Earth. It basically defines an Earth-like environment. And the other thing about this ocean on Mars is this ocean lasted most of Mars' history. It's not on the old part of Mars, which is the south, which is heavily cratered highlands. It's on the north part of Mars with hardly any craters. And this means this planet had an ocean for most of its geologic history. And it also means that it probably had things swimming in that ocean for most of its geologic history.
Okay, you raised the question. What kind of things were swimming there? Intelligent things or what?
Well, I would... 4 billion years of Earth-like conditions means that you could have had not just biology, but evolution on Mars. So there's really no limit you can place on the development that Mars...
It could have ebbed and flowed numerous times.
Absolutely. Mars is close to the asteroid belt, so it's going to get a lot more big impacts than happened to Earth. We have several periods on Earth where almost everything that was alive died. The Great Permian extinction, and then, of course, the Chicxulub event that wiped out the dinosaurs was believed to be an asteroid impact. The Permian extinction also was supposed to be an asteroid impact. Mars probably that happened more often. So you probably had a very interesting biological history with probably a lot of mass extinctions. And apparently one final mass extinction that turned Mars into what it is today instead of what it used to be, which was a rather Earth-like looking planet.
Do we have a sense of how long ago in history this might have happened?
Yes, it will be approximately 500 million years ago was where a very large impact happened on Mars. It created what's called the Leo Impact Basin. It's in the north of Mars. It's right on the ocean shoreline. And if you have an ocean on Mars, then that can act as a big gas reservoir and a big thermal reservoir. So if it's hard to have a sudden ice age if you have a big warm ocean. But if you have a large enough impact, the ocean will freeze over and you will have a climatic catastrophe. Carl Sagan, ironically, was the first person to figure out that if you had a large greenhouse, a CO2 greenhouse on Mars, like there is on Venus, that because of Mars conditions, that if you get a big chilling event on Mars, that whole atmosphere can collapse into dry ice on the poles. In other words, there's a situation on Mars where if you have a lot of carbon dioxide, you can either have a warm, dense atmosphere that traps a lot of heat and has high atmospheric pressure like the Earth, probably also with oxygen, nitrogen.
It would be low pH.
The ocean would be a carbonic acid ocean. It would be like soda water. But the problem with that is that even with an ocean full of soda water as a gas reservoir, if something like a large asteroid impact happens, then the temperatures drop all the way around the planet, and at the poles, they drop below the temperature where dry ice will form, and the entire atmosphere can just crystallize out in one giant snowstorm.
So basically, the place is not stable enough to support advanced civilization. It just basically turns over too often.
If you have too much climatic disruption, you don't have a chance, probably, for any advanced life to form. However, it appears that Mars had a pretty stable climate despite these effects for long periods, billions of years. and until this one final catastrophe happened. And what's interesting is that Carl Sagan was actually the person to find this out. Many times in this investigation, I thought I'd found something new, and I'd look up and find that Carl Sagan had found it out first. So Carl Sagan was actually a superb scientist. You know, people tend to think of he was kind of just Mr. Billions and Billions, but he did a lot of very good work, particularly on the permanent greenhouse on Venus. He was Mr. Greenhouse. He also found out that Mars is red due to highly oxidized iron, and suggested that it had an oxygen atmosphere in the past, like Earth. If you look at pictures of Earth from space, pictures of, like, of the Sahara Desert, it's bright red, where there's no clouds or vegetation or water. Their surface is bright red, just like Mars, and it's red for the same reason, because of iron in the soil. It's highly oxidized. And so Mars gives evidence that it had an oxygen atmosphere in the past, and it had an ocean. Therefore, it's pretty fair to say it had lots of life on it. In fact, if you have an oxygen component in the atmosphere, the carbon dioxide, which forms carbonic acid, can't form limestone with the rocks. It's the oxygen actually stabilizes the situation chemically.
So basically the issue here is that because Mars was not stable, it couldn't sustain any particular environment, atmospheric environment, to allow for advanced life forms to live long and prosper and flourish.
Well, they certainly aren't living long and prospering now.
We'll have to talk more about that. And also I want to ask you about some of the legends of Mars that are so fascinating to everyone. The book, which is coming out in February, is called The New Mars Synthesis. And, of course, this is about the life and death of Mars. Dr. John Brandenburg is our guest. Our co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@WebTV.net. That's MrUFO@WebTV.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
All types of batteries for all types of gadgets. We'll say it again. All types of batteries for all types of gadgets. Electronics, toys, flashlights, computers, accessories, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Whatever type battery you need, alkaline, lithium, gel cell, NiCad, metal hydride, sealed lead acid, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Our homepage gives you quick access to ham, marine, police, fire, and aviation batteries. Plus, choose from our great selection of LED flashlights with no bulb to ever burn out and much longer battery life. Find many top brands, including Streamlight, Pelican, Surefire, Novatek, Gerber, and more at BatteryStation.com. You'll also find the most popular brands of ammunition and watertight cases for storing guns, food, electronics, survival gear, and more at BatteryStation.com. Call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. You will be surprised when you visit BatteryStation.com.
In a coming apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborist, shipyards, tow line, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Men, take control of your prostate health without the risk of nasty side effects with Prostate Secure. Early detection, regular prostate exams, and PSA tests are a must for men over 40. Listen, if you have symptoms of an enlarged prostate but don't want to take a drug with possible nasty side effects, or if you're over 40, then use Prostate Secure, a natural dietary supplement for men. Prostate Secure is a scientifically formulated blend of clinically significant amounts of natural ingredients. It brings together the most powerful plant sterols like beta-sitosterol and saw palmetto, along with antioxidants such as vitamin D3, resveratrol, and lycopene to support good prostate health, proper urinary flow, function, and more. Check out ProstateSecure.com. Order online and save 10% with promo code SAVE10 or call 1-800-239-9432. That's 800-239-9432. Or visit ProstateSecure.com. Take control of your prostate health naturally with Prostate Secure.
On air, online, and on demand, we are the GCN Radio Network.
You're in the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
We return to Mars, the Red Planet, with Dr. John Brandenburg. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in the Paracast. Chris, how about picking up on this?
You know, I had a chance to get most of the way through the book because we kind of did have you on the show sort of last minute. I wasn't able to spend the amount of time on some of the denser portions of the book where you go into some of the chemistry and, sure. and other more scientific elements in terms of the information in the book.
I tried not to load up too much scientific.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I'm going to if I had had just an extra couple, 3 hours, I would have been able, I think, to get a little bit more in depth in the book. I do recommend it highly to our listeners out there. This is probably the most comprehensive look at the unfolding of human knowledge about Mars and scientific knowledge about Mars. And there's some very fascinating sidebar plot lines and subplots in the book concerning you know, the space program and how we have slowly been peeling back the layers of the onion scientifically of the planet. And one of the things I'd like to have you address is how the discovery of the Martian meteorites, which are fairly rare on this planet,
yes.
But how that whole scenario ties into what we know about the planet and how some of the cataclysmic events on Mars could somehow be tied into some cataclysmic events that have happened on the Earth?
Yes. Well, we know that we have about a dozen meteorites that have been recovered on Earth that are actually from Mars. And it was kind of a Sherlock Holmes detective story to figure out that these things were from Mars. One of the most famous ones is the only meteorite known to have killed a living thing on Earth. It killed a dog in Egypt. And it was in this meteorite, out of the millions of meteorites that come to, from outer space, this one happened to be from Mars. So it tells you Mars has bad karma right off the bat. But
or the dog that got hit did.
Yeah, he'd been barking at the moon the previous night or something like that.
He was barking up the wrong planet.
Yes, I regard it as very humorous, this report that the dog got killed by a rock from Mars, especially because Mars meteorites are quite rare. However, Mars is next to the asteroid belt, so a big rock will hit Mars periodically and throw smaller rocks from our surface clear into orbit around the sun and eventually ending up on Earth. These rocks are giving us basically free samples of the Martian surface. And one of the amazing things about these rocks is they're almost all of them are quite young geologically. They range from 1 billion to 200 million years old for the most part. They've only found one that dates from the very ancient part of Mars, 4.5 billion years old. So automatically, it looks like Mars is much younger, has a much younger surface than we originally thought. Once again, I walked into a room and here was 2 + 2 = and I wrote 4 again. I pointed out that this means Mars' surface is young, and several other people picked up on that. So it's a great opportunity for a kind of bomb-throwing anarchist like me. But at the same time, we've now detected life signs in these meteorites. And it's not just in one meteorite. It's on almost all of them have signs that there was liquid water and biology in the living in the rocks before they were tossed into space and arrived on Earth.
So, but it's then, not just let me one ask you a question, John. Why
sure.
then? Why then not speculate that some of that life became intelligent, became advanced? Maybe they left Mars when they knew these cataclysms were imminent. And they didn't want to have their civilization destroyed. You know, the old legends.
Oh, that's a very good question. What level of evolution did life arrive at Mars? As you know, I was involved in the Cydonia controversy, the face on Mars.
Okay, and that's a good point. Why don't you tell our listeners about that? Obviously, we have heard what Richard Hoagland, who would like to be a doctor but is not, has said about this. And we have not had him on the show, and I think possibly because we don't want to have somebody to yell at.
I understand. I consider Dick Hoagland to be a very smart guy, and I worked with him and Vince DiPietro, Greg Molinar, in the original independent Mars investigation. And we ended up presenting a paper at a scientific conference on what we found, and it caused quite a stir. And that kind of made the Cydonia controversy. And that's, if you look at Cydonia, you've got a large, what looks like a large archaeological monument. Next, near to it is a large pyramid shaped thing. And so if you want to ask what level did life achieve on Mars during this long period of Earth-like climate, then you look at Cydonia, and maybe that's your answer.
Yeah, but Cydonia was underwater, wasn't it?
What's that?
It was underwater. It was up in the northern part of the planet.
No, it would have been on the ocean shoreline.
Okay.
As it turns out, it would have been the Riviera of Mars, basically. It was right on the ocean shoreline. Just above the 0 kilometer line, as it turns out. And, that's still all very controversial. I chose in the book not to really talk about Cydonia except just to mention it simply because, you could devote an entire book to that. What is well accepted in Mars science now is that there was an ocean. That ocean lasted a long time. Everything they're finding with the Mars rovers is supportive of that. The Mars meteorites have evidence of being exposed to groundwater, and it indicates there was weather on Mars. There was rainfall. So you had an entire weather cycle on Mars, and because the Mars rocks are fairly recent, this all was occurring fairly recent in geologic time, at least up to about 500 million years ago. Now, what happened on Mars, since we know from the Mars meteorites that things that impact on Mars can toss rocks clear from Mars to Earth, what happened when this LEO impact basin formed, which we can date approximately about 500 million years ago, is Earth may have been showered with rocks from Mars that carried rather sophisticated Martian organisms here. And what happened on Earth at the same time as Mars may have been perishing was what's called the Precambrian explosion, where suddenly an enormous variety of strange life forms appeared on Earth, where before they'd just been pretty much bacterial colonies that didn't do much. Suddenly there was this big blossoming of life forms, some of them quite sophisticated, and it may have been an invasion from Mars.
Now, you're the first person, to my knowledge, that's ever really made that connection.
We are the first people to have pointed this out. We actually pointed this out in the book Dead Mars, Dying Earth, which we published earlier, but we didn't emphasize it. It was actually picked up in the movie Mission to Mars, which had the big Mars face, and they actually showed that. And so we may be, in fact, owe a lot of our biological heritage to Mars.
So we are the Martians.
We are.
That's
well,
what
let
I've
me
been
put it
trying
this way.
To tell everybody.
When we land on Mars, it'll be Martian life returning home. It's my belief.
We're going Check that out, Paracasters.
We're gonna go up and restore Mars to life again. And
well, of course, look at the movie. Remember that movie, Total Recall? There you go.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, we are. I think there's a good scientific case that can be made that we are at least part Martian in our genetic makeup. And Earth was probably a fairly primitive place, while Mars, being a smaller planet, it formed quicker, cooled off quicker, it was farther from the sun, so it actually probably achieved more what we would call Earth-like conditions earlier.
Well, it was less stable, and that's something we'll want to go into in more detail.
Right.
As we proceed to the next portion of the show, we have
Sure.
Dr. John Brandenburg. The book coming out in February is called Life and Death on Mars, The New Mars Synthesis. Fascinating. Our co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
The Paracast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
The people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.